Serialized dramas have existed as a form of popular entertainment since the 19th century, beginning as works of narrative fiction such as Charles Dickens' Great Expectations or Alexandre Dumas' The Count of Monte Cristo. They were published in monthly installments in literary magazines. A plot that unfolds with hidden elements of the story revealed over the course of several issues ensured a returning readership, and this lucrative model of storytelling would evolve as technology gave us new ways to tell stories and new audiences to consume them. By far, the most popular form of serialized drama is the soap opera, so named for its earliest sponsors, soap companies using the midday time slot to advertise to housewives. Early radio soap operas such as WGN's Painted Dreams and BBC Radio's The Archers were consumed by a predominantly female audience and were meant to reflect the kind of intrigue and glamour absent from the lives of the average wives at home doing their chores and listening to the radio, perhaps with their hands in a sink full of dishes or a tub full of laundry. The appeal of the soap opera is most certainly not limited to housewives, which brings me to the fictional town of Collinsport, Maine, and the Collins family. I grew up in South Louisiana. I didn't see snow until I was 14 years old, and I didn't cross the Mason-Dixon line until I was old enough to drive. I was an avid and precocious reader, and thanks to Stephen King, my limited and abstract understanding of Maine was that it was a place of unimaginable darkness. In Louisiana, the opacity of Lake Pontchartrain, gateway to the Gulf of Mexico and heart of Acadian culture, is the result of its muddy tributaries like the Tangibahoa, the Bogfalaya, Bayou Chinchuba, and the Bonnecary Spillway. Like my own hometown in South Louisiana, Collinsport is a coastal village where the inhabitants all share a deep social, cultural, and economic connection to the water. But the opacity of the Atlantic Ocean off of the coast of Collinsport, which is only 50 miles from Bangor, Maine, is the result of a dark, impenetrable magic. On some level, as a child, I think I understood that the romantic aesthetic of the Deep South, of plantations and voodoo and Spanish moss and vampires, was a complete fabrication. There were no vampires here, but there was alcoholism and gossip and shame and painful family secrets. In that way, I did see myself and my own life in the lives of the members of the Collins family. Watching them in the 90s on what was then the Sci-Fi Channel, I could recognize and relate to a family for whom appearances meant nearly everything. Except instead of living in South Louisiana, they lived in Collinsport, a place as foreign to me as the surface of Mars, but a place where I knew magic could happen. In Collinsport, the oppressive heat didn't bear down on you in the middle of the day. The humidity didn't cause your freshly curled hair to fall limp. The mosquitoes didn't chase you into the house as soon as the sun went down. And everyone dressed like Sunday church, except they didn't look itchy and uncomfortable. My grandmother used to tell me that I looked like Victoria Winters. I have dark eyes, and when I was a child, I had thick brown hair cut similarly to Vicky's. But I related most to and wanted to be Carolyn Stoddard. I sort of felt like Carolyn. Her father was dead, and mine was doing heroin. That's sort of the same, right? The maladaptive family dynamic didn't stop Carolyn from being beautiful and glamorous. My great-grandmother once did me the favor of pointing out that my cousin was thinner and prettier than I was, something my cousin did not deny. Carolyn's cousin was an elegant vampire who affected a quasi-British accent with tapped R's. To this day, I do not speak to my cousin, and if I could trade her in for a stylish vampire with a fondness for home restoration, I think I would. The characters of Dark Shadows and their uncanny ability to maintain their distinction and magnetism amid an atmosphere of dysfunction had an aspirational quality that followed me into adulthood. It's no wonder that I went on to become a burlesque performer, where I play at being the most alluring, most enchanting, most glamorous version of myself for an audience that will only ever get to see me as my stage persona. Now that I have the ability and the freedom, I can finally emulate the characters I admired from afar, from my home in South Louisiana, living their lives of mystery and beauty and intrigue in Collinsport, Maine.